Amen. Get everything ready here. You believe the Bible this morning, say amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Psalm 139. I'm pretty sure this is going to be the last message. I started this out. I didn't plan on preaching four messages out of this. Planned on preaching one to start out, and God just kind of turned it into that or whatever. But I'm going to try to finish up on this and just deal with something that the Lord has just kind of laid on my heart and try to help us. And this actually kind of came to me by way of a question that somebody had asked me here a while back. And I just believe the Bible. I do. I believe the Bible. I may not understand everything in this book. In fact, there's a lot of things that I do not understand. God never tells us that if we don't understand it, to just ignore it. He never tells us that. Okay? I don't understand God's grace sometimes. I don't understand why he loves me the way he does and why he does for me what he does. Sometimes I just don't understand that. I don't understand the Godhead, but I believe God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Ghost. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. I believe that. I may not understand it. I may not be able to divide it all out and figure this and out and the other. I may not be able to do that, but I do believe it. And I don't understand how God takes nothing and speaks it into existence, even when there was nothing there. I don't understand that, but I believe it. Okay? And so I hope that you just believe the Bible, even if you don't understand everything that's written herein. And some would say, well, I don't read the King James because I can't understand it. Well, I can tell you this. You can understand this one better than you think you can. Okay? And but anyway, just read it and believe it and let God do in your heart what he wants to do with his word. Because it's not within your power to make the word functional in your life. That's the power of the word anyway. Stop and think about you being Lazarus. Everybody pretend you're Lazarus. Okay? And what does Lazarus do to receive the word and to apply it to his life? Nothing. He just lays there dead, and Jesus speaks the word, and the word gives him life. Can I hear you say amen? And there's a thing that I'm still working on it. I've been talking about doing it for a while, and I've made about a page full of notes, and I've got a long way to go with it yet. I'm going to try to get that done in January. And that is a teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, biblical gifts of the Spirit. You see, I believe God gives wisdom. I believe God gives knowledge. I believe God gives healing. Do we not believe that? I believe he does. Okay? And there is a way that he's going to do that. Okay? And you will never see in the Bible where God tells you to go to a Benny Hinn concert and get healing. Okay? But there's a way for it to be done. And I believe in that, and I'm going to read a verse that talks about, in fact, I'm going to talk about healing just a little bit this morning, and we'll kind of get our bearings. Anyway, Psalm chapter 139, verse 14, are you there? Say amen. David said, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I've preached, this be the fourth sermon now, I've preached on biblical membership. Biblical membership. This has not been in an effort to increase the membership roles of Bethel Church. I couldn't care less about that. I mean, I have some concern about it. But I'm not up here trying to build and put people in the pews of Bethel Church. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to tell the truth and to preach the word and to preach the gospel. That's what I'm here for. And God will take care of all the other business that needs to be taken care of. Is that what you believe? Say amen. I mean, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. He didn't say might be, He said shall be added unto you. And our primary responsibility here at Bethel is to have the Word preached, have the Word taught, have the Word read, have the Word believed. And God will do the application and God will do all the other stuff. And I love the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Somebody say amen. But God saw it fit one day, long time ago, to bring a little snotty-nosed, bushy-headed kid named Mike Hoggard into this church. God saw fit to do that. Okay? God did it by way of my mother, who God saw fit to bring her in here, and she brought me in here, and I'll tell you what, my mom had it right. She said, you know, if we're going to do this, let's just do it all the way. She came Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, 5 nights at revival meeting, quarterly meetings, I mean, just whatever was going on here. She had, and I'll be honest with you, I started to learn how to play the piano when Mom would come over here, and when she first got right with God and started coming to church here, she was volunteered to clean the church every now and then, and she would come over here to clean, and I didn't have nothing else to do, but I just sat over there at the piano, and I was teaching myself how to play the piano, and she said, you know what, I'm going to give that boy lessons. So it was right over, it wasn't the same piano, but it was right over there. And God saw fit to bring her in. God saw fit to bring me in here. God has seen fit to bring you in here, to write your name down in the book of life. Somebody say amen. God gave us in this church, God gave us a couple of young men that came out of cults that just now believe the Bible. God gave us some old dirt bags that used to be drunks, used to be fornicators, used to be dope heads, used to be liars and everything else in the world of what we used to be. And God brought us all here because God saw fit to give us a right arm and a left arm and a right foot and a left foot and eyes and ears and all the organs. God saw fit to build this church the way He wanted it built. Somebody say amen. I like that. Every now and then something goes wrong. Every now and then something ain't quite right. I preached last Sunday morning, and I guess God just wanted me to really ponder this subject and this issue before I preached it. Because it's easy for me to get up here and just take a sword and just start hacking away and this and that and the other, and I don't want to do that. You all are my friends. You're my brothers in Christ. I forbear with you, and you in turn likewise, I guarantee you, you forbear with me. You know what that means, don't you? You put up with it. You put up with me. I know that. I know that I'm not God's gift to God, Jim. Okay? And so there's just times when, you know, we put up with one another. And as I explained last Sunday, when this hand hurts, this hand helps. How many of you believe in that? Say amen. In a marriage, in a family, in a home, when one part of the body is not working right or doing well, then the other parts of the body kick in and they help because we're all part of the body. Amen? We're all part of the body. And that's what we're designed. That's our first instinct. Okay? In other words, every now and then, and I hate these. I hate them. I hate hangnails. I hate them. I usually keep my fingernails trimmed down pretty tight. Because if I don't, I'm going to do something and chip, and I'm going to have this jagged edge, and then it's going to start going down in here, and then it's going to start getting infected. And I hate that. Why did God put 4 billion nerve endings right here on the end of my finger next to my fingernail? Why did He do that? Okay? And I don't like hangnails, but I promise you, my first instinct when I get a hangnail is to not cut off my hand. And I'm saying all this for a reason. That's not my first thought. Oh my goodness, these nails look terrible. How many of you are with me so far? I mean, I'm going to try to keep this real simple. And let us understand that God designed our bodies and how we react and how we do things in our bodies. God designed them to match the doctrines in His Word, to give us wisdom and understanding for us to see how it is. And I can tell you that I can tell you that on any given day, somebody in my family, in my immediate family, wife, children, grandchild, Michaela. Hi, Michaela. She comes in here every day, and sometimes I can tell you, she does not act right. Amen. Gary, you just nod your head and say amen. Rose, okay. Our first instinct is to not just put her outside and go find some other family to be part of. That's not our first instinct. Amen? Because we're family. And God put a familial bond in our minds and in our hearts. We are naturally bound. By nature, we are bound to our husbands, wives, daughters, grandchildren, even cousins. If you don't understand that, just go see Rose Huddleston. She has got, I don't know, she's got 4,000 cousins, and half of them live in Fredericktown. And every time one of them's sick, we know about it in this church. You know why? Because she has a familial bond with her relatives. And that's normal. That's right. Amen? To a point, to an extent, that's right. That's how God designed us. And so just because in my immediate family, with my wife or my children or they with me, just because something ain't right one day, that doesn't mean get them out of here. That's not what that means. And the same way in this church, can I hear somebody say amen? Some of you have been around a long time. Some of you haven't been around here a long time. But it doesn't matter. Because when you decide to bond yourself in with a group of believers as church people, you understand that one is always there to help the other. And our first reactive instinct when something in our body is not right is not normally to just hack it off and get rid of it. But I will tell you, sometimes that has to happen. Now, I am not currently standing up here right now aware of any dire, terrible, bad situation that I have to be preaching on this subject today in order to just cut this off and deal with. I'm not aware of anything. I think, as far as I know, pretty much everybody's doing somewhat okay. Does everybody say amen to that? I got a couple of you. Okay? And so I want you to just kind of get where I'm going with this. I've thought about this for a long time. Let me tell you where I'm going. Let me get my notes together here. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Let me get all this stuff out of the way here. I believe the Bible. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. Are you there? Say amen. Know this place in your Bible. Okay? Maybe you want to just make some notes around it or whatever. But know this place in your Bible. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, what does it say to do? Pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy what? Members. Do you think about that? Do you think about it? In thy book, all my members are written. God designed you with two eyes, two hands, two feet, two ears, a nose with two holes in it. Okay? I like what somebody said. God built you with two ears and only one mouth. Think about that for a while. Amen? Listen more than you talk. But he designed us with all of these things. He wrote them down. But every now and then, things don't go very well. It's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole what? Body should be cast into hell. Now, I don't know if I'll get to it the way I got it in my mind right now, so I want to go ahead and say it. I can tell you this, I don't know of any situation like this, but there's just some wisdom. Do not ever follow a family member into hell. It's not worth it. Do not follow any family member into hell. Do not follow a church into hell. You know what? This outside of the four walls of this church, we have a ministry that reaches a lot of people. Most of those people had decided that they were not going to follow their church to hell. That's what they decided. They just decided, you know what? If they're going to do that stuff in the church, we're out. We're not going to be a part of it. And they get persecuted for that. They get railed for that. They get all kinds of accusations made against them for that. But these people just simply, and they forbeared and they suffered long enough. But they simply decided they were not going to follow a church into the gates of hell. And I can tell you there are churches headed there right now. God forbid, and God help us, that this church never does that. Do not follow a pastor into hell. I don't care if it's me or anybody else. Do not follow some preacher into the pits of hell. It's not worth it. Do not follow a family member. I don't care if it's your wife, your husband. Now, here's what I'm not going to let you get by with today. Most couples in this building right now have maybe at one time contemplated divorce. It happens. Especially nowadays when we make it so easy. This is not a message advocating you for one day when you get in a bad mood that you're just going to leave your family. That's not what this message is. But I will, and I remember, just because your wife or your husband or whatever. Kids, listen to me, kids. Just because you don't think you're getting treated good enough at your house, don't be a prodigal child and leave. Not until it's right. Not until it's right. But this, the first instinct that bodies have is to not just cut off and be done with it. Because there could be a better way for God to handle situations in your life. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Just because the Bible, in some limited areas, gives cause for divorce, does not mean that you have to. There is not a commandment to divorce in the Bible. And so that's not where I'm going. But I will tell you this. Wives, do not follow lost husbands to hell. God has a better way. Husbands, do not follow lost wives into hell. And I've known some guys that really felt God called them to preach. And their old Jezebel wife said, I didn't marry a preacher and I ain't living with one. Don't follow your wife into hell. And moms and dads who have a natural love and a tendency for their children, you do not follow your children to hell. You do not give up your stand on the Bible and your stand on the blood and your stand on the faith of Jesus Christ just because your kids have wandered astray and gotten involved in something else. And I've battled that here in this church. There was a lady. If I said the name, some of you know exactly who I'm talking about. That her kids were, her adult children were wrapped up in, I mean, all kinds of just crazy stuff. And she would get mad at me for preaching against it. I mean, just bull up and get mad for me preaching against it. I don't care if your kids are doing it. If it ain't right, it ain't right. You don't follow your kids into hell. Children, do not follow your parents into hell. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Don't follow your school friends. Most of you kids in school right now are part of a group, part of a collective. Every child in school needs to know that they belong somewhere. Am I right? Don't follow them to hell. At some point, you're going to have that cut off. Or you'll go into hell with them. Don't do that. So now that I've gotten to that part, you kind of know where I'm going with this. Let's back up a little bit. He said in verse 30, "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Okay? Now, do you believe the Bible? Say amen. Okay? Now, I want to pray, and I'm just going to say a few things, and we'll boogie on out of here, all right? But I want you to just pray that God will give me a clarity of thought now on how to preach this. I've kind of got it laid out, and I just want to do it in a very wise way, in a way that will help you. A way that will get you to understand that the Bible's right 100% of the time, even when we're not. Can I hear you say amen? Heavenly Father, Lord, help me to preach this message. Help me to do it in love. Lord, Father, I thank you, dear God, that you've kind of held back the reins a little bit on me, dear God, to show me really, Lord, how to preach this. Lord, my first instinct, dear God, Lord, was to just come in with a big old sword and just hacking away, Lord, and that's not it. And so, Father, I thank you, dear God. And Lord, I do ask for your help. I'm asking you, dear God, Lord, to give me words to say that are right. Help me to know what verses to bring out, dear God. Help me to know how to lay this out. And so, Father, Lord, that we have understanding, dear God, on how we should live our lives and how far we need to go. So help us, Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, I want you to think about something. You're going to use the analogy of the body here just very fast, okay? Let's use the analogy of the right hand. That's the one that Jesus pointed out. So let's use this picture in the Bible of the right hand. Let's say that, you know, I'm right-handed. Let's say that I woke up one day and my hand was just hurting real bad. I mean, just a lot of pain. And, you know, I have arthritis every now and then, and that kind of bothers me. But this is just something I think, well, maybe it's just arthritis. Okay, it's, you know, just take some ibuprofen or something like that and reduce inflammation and I feel better. Okay. Well, days go by and not only is it hurting, but I can feel something in here that just doesn't feel right. You know, you're used to yourself. Amen. You know when something ain't right. You don't always need a doctor to tell you. Amen. You just know something ain't right and just something in here doesn't feel right. And then, you know, it just hurts worse and worse and worse and worse until finally you just kind of say, you know what? I can't. Listen to this now. I can't ignore this anymore. Let me just kind of lay this out for you and help you a little bit. I want you to think about sin in your life. I'm not talking about sin in somebody else's life. I'm talking about sin in your life. And everybody's got it. And here's what we do. We wake up one day and all of a sudden we're not as spiritual as we was the day before. But we just kind of move along a little bit. And, you know, we kind of get a little of this, a little sin this, a little sin that, whatever your deal is. And we kind of get off on that. And after a while, we keep thinking, well, maybe this will go away. It doesn't go away. And after a while, it gets to a point where we can't ignore it anymore. Because, you know, when you use your right hand a lot, and something's wrong with it. You try to work around it, but after a while, you just realize, I can't get by. This is not right. It's taking over. You think about that. And I'm preaching to saved people. It's taken over. And it becomes obvious to you that something is not right and it needs help. It needs fixed. And you realize that you can't do anything about it. It's just you ignored it and it's not getting any better. My meemaw ignored cancer. She knew she was sick. She knew she had it, but she ignored it until she absolutely couldn't get out of bed one day and they took her to the hospital. They opened her up, closed her back up and said she's going to die probably about a week, and she did. Okay? So anyway, we get to a point where we can't ignore it. So, and again, our first inclination is to not say, well, I think it's too far gone already. Let's cut this thing off. That's not our normal thought, is it? So we go, because, you know, we got all this health insurance, might as well use it. Okay? So we'll go to the doctor. Have the doctor examine that. And he'll look at it. And he'll may do some tests on it. Find out what maybe you got some kind of tumor in there. And by the way, sin is like a tumor. It's a canker. And it just eats away. And everybody in here, everybody in this building knows about cancer somehow, some way. Either you've had it or somebody you know has had it and they lived through it or they died through it. And you know how it goes. And I want to tell you something. You cannot ignore cancer and you cannot ignore your sin. And if you keep ignoring it, it's just going to take over and consume and eat and defile and you're dead. So you go to the doctor. The doctor looks at that and says, well, we got cancer in there. We're going to have to do something about that. That cancer needs to be healed. Now, they can do things now that they couldn't do 20 years ago. And they can do things now that they couldn't do 5 years ago with cancer. And I'll tell you what, I like it. Amen? It may be a little rough, but I like it. But it gets to a point where you can't ignore it. You know that if you don't do something about it, it's going to spread. It's going to infect the entire body. It's just going to go all over the place. And so you need it to be healed. Now let's say, your personal self and issues of life that come up that you try to ignore for a while, but then you just can't ignore them anymore. You cannot ignore sin anymore. You're going to have something done about that. We don't always have to just jump immediately and have our hand cut off, but we do need to go to the Lord for healing. I want you to list some verses out of the Bible that deal with healing. I'm just going to read these fast. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. By the way, if you have a sin problem, you cannot heal your own problem. God must heal you. Somebody say amen. I don't care what self-help group you're in. I don't care if you're watching Dr. Phil five times a week. I don't care if you're reading Joel Osteen every day and watching Joyce Myers on television. You cannot, with the power of your mind, bring yourself out of sinfulness. It's impossible for that to happen. You can't heal yourself. Somebody say amen. Somebody tried to tell me, and I don't believe it. I'm not necessarily in for big doctors and big pharmaceutical companies and this and that and the other. But when I was having, and I know what the problem with my shoulder was, when I was having problems with it, somebody said, now, if you'll just take this vegetable deal and swallow it three times a day, and this ground up whatever this is, and swallow that four times a day, what happens is that'll release the body's natural healing energies. Now, I know the body has an ability to do certain things and heal itself. Scabs and things like that. But there are just some things that the body cannot heal on its own. You with me? I've never seen the self-healed cancer victim. I've never seen somebody said, well, I have cancer, but it's gone. I've never seen that work before. The Lord's got to heal you. And if you've got a sin problem, it's a disease. Let me hear you say amen. If you have a sin problem, it's a disease. And only God can heal you of it. Let me move on. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Psalm chapter 6, verse 2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Psalm chapter 41, verse 4. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. See, the Bible connects it right there. That physical maladies or physical sickness is a type and a picture of a much greater problem. Everybody's running around saying, oh, I'm going to go see so-and-so, Benny Hinn or whatever, to get healed so I can have healing in my body. But they are ignoring the very sin problem in their life. They want their back to feel better, but they want their conscience soothed so they can go out and sin all they want to. That's the problem with us human beings right now. It's not that our back hurts. It's not that we've got a problem. We've got a little arthritis. It's not that we've got some other malady. Our problem is sin. And it needs to be healed. The Bible connected it. Psalm 103, verse 3. The Bible says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth thy diseases. The Bible connects it right there. And so whether it's in your personal life, or it's in your family, or it's in a church, or a country, a denomination, or whatever, our first inclination when something among us is not right is to not just cut them off, but it's to try to heal what's diseased and what's hurting. Can I hear somebody say amen? I've got this in mind. She's weak and she's sick and she needs healing. She needs those who are skilled at helping this to take care of this. It's not anywhere in my mind or in my heart to say, just let her go. That's not how we are as members of the body. Can I hear you say amen? So the next time somebody in this church doesn't act quite right and things are not right in their life, instead of us saying, hey, we need to get them out of here, let's do it the Bible way. Go to them personally. Or if you don't think you can do it, send God. How many of you, I'm going to ask you to be real honest. You don't have to, but I'm going to ask you to be real honest this morning. Who in here has ever had an issue in their life that God had to come to them personally and deal with them to bring them to repentance? Who in here has ever had that happen before? God came to you personally. By the way, if you're saved, that's what happened. God came to you personally and privately. Why? To restore such an one. I don't want to lose this hand. And if this hand has cancer, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be able to keep this hand. Even if the medicine and the chemotherapy make the entire body sick, I'm okay with that. Because remember, when one of the members suffers, the whole body does. Well, God's wise, isn't He? And it's the same way with our children. Same way with our wife or our husband. Same way with just family members or whatever. We want them to be healed. So we don't have to cut them off. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent His word and healed them. Did you hear that? Here's your spiritual gift right here. Amen. Here's your spiritual gift right here. Listen, if you got a sin problem, I got the medicine. Amen. Say amen to that. If you got a sin problem, I've got the cure. I got the medicine. Take this three times a day, swallow it down good. You might even want to chew it up before you swallow it. Amen. And you take the medicine. God will send His word and heal you. Somebody say amen. And so you know what? Let's watch after one another. I didn't say pry into everybody's business. Some things about everybody in this church you don't want to know about. But let's watch over one another. And if somebody comes in this church house on a Sunday morning, you can tell. And you can tell. Amen?
It ain't right.
It wouldn't hurt for you to bow your head. That's why every now and then I say, you know what? Ask God to lay somebody in your heart to pray for, because I guarantee you somebody in this church house this morning needs you to pray for them. That's this hand doing this. Now, I'm the doctor up here, and I'm giving you the medicine. And did you know that every now and then, a doctor needs to take a good dose of his own medicine? And I realize that. So that's our first responsibility. If somebody, listen, you get up one morning and your wife's not just a terribly happy, oh, hello, honey. If you get up one morning and she's just looking at you like, don't hand her divorce papers. I'm going to tell you about a guy I don't like. He was a pastor of a church in this area. And one day he confronted his teenage daughter, who was into lesbianism, confronted her in the church house during the service on a Sunday morning. Sunday night, him and his wife went over to the church. They lived right next door. She took a pistol that I was with him when he bought it from the guy, and shot herself and killed herself while mom and daddy was in church. 3 months later, he walks in the room with his wife, pulls out a manila envelope and says, here, sign these. I'm divorcing you. I don't love you. I don't like that guy. And if he was standing here, I'd tell him to his face. That's not what you do to your body. You don't do that to your family. You don't do that to your church people. You don't do that. Can I hear you say amen? So I got that out of the way. So anyway, we just pray for healing. All right. But Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 12, for thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable and thy wound is grievous. I will tell you. Now, listen to this now. This is where it's going to get interesting. There are some things that turn out to be incurable. God even said so. There are some things that turn out to be incurable. And nothing can help except cutting it off. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Okay? Now, I know if we had a hangnail, who in here can pull a hangnail out? Amen? Okay? I told you the other day when I started this message about the splinter that I had down inside my fingernail. And I just decided I took a pocket knife and I just cut and threw skin out and everything like that until I found it and I yanked her out. I mean, that wasn't easy, but I figured that's going to be better than leaving that in there. Okay? Did you know that I could not ask Caleb to do that? Caleb comes in with a splinter, I'd say, dig it out. What's wrong with you? Okay? And depending on how bad it is and what his mood is, he may not even let me take it out without mama holding him down, tying him up, chaining him to a tree, or rendering him unconscious in some way. By the way, this is why they put you out for surgery. Because you won't lay still. Amen? Okay, so anyway, let me ask you a question. Let's say that you had just a nasty infection on your hand. Your hand was just solid red. The heat from it was just terrible. It was swollen beyond recognition. It was painful. And you saw the red streaks going up your arm. You know for a fact that if the antibiotics cannot take care of that, that you're going to have that hand cut off. Now, I want to ask you to raise your hand if you personally think that you could cut your own hand off. I couldn't do it. I can pull a splinter out. That's about it. God designed us to make it an extreme difficulty to be able to cut off our own hand or any other part of our body. God makes that hard. Are you following me? For a reason. So who do we go to, Mike? Who do we go to? When our hand is beyond help, it's beyond saving, and if we don't do something quick, it's going to kill the rest of the body. What do we do? You go to the doctor. How many of you know who the physician is? Do I need to read the verse? We have a great physician. Somebody say amen. Now, let me tell you a story. Okay? Let me look at the guy's name here. A guy named Aaron Ralston, 2003. In an extreme situation. What he was doing, he went out hiking. He was one of these guys that would climb hills and this and that and the other. And he went out in Utah in this canyon by himself. Didn't tell anybody. He was single. Didn't have anybody. Just got up one morning and said, I'm going out there. He went out there, drove out in the middle of nowhere in Utah, went hiking in this canyon. And he was good, but not good enough. He made a mistake. And what happened was he was in this sort of real closed-in area, and he leaned on a boulder, and that boulder shifted. And when it shifted, he went straight down into this canyon that was about this wide, and the boulder came down immediately and crushed his hand between the two walls of the cavern and crushed his hand up against the other wall. 800-pound boulder. When the park rangers people went back, it took I don't know how many men and a crane to lift that boulder out of that canyon. But it jammed his hand like from here in up against this canyon, and there he is. He's standing there and he's stuck with his hand inside this, just trapped in there. 5 days. 5 days. Not being able to sleep. He had a container of water and he had to stretch that out over 5 days. And he tried everything. He tried to pull. He tried to chip away at the boulder to get it to break and it wouldn't do it. He tried everything in his power. 5 days. And he said he was chipping away at this thing and the knife ended up slicing into his hand. And he saw black. And he smelled the smell. And it dawned on him, if I don't get out of here, I'm dead. God puts a little survival in us. Amen? So without telling you all the gory details, he used that knife, cut, used the leverage of his body and the stone to break both the bones clean in half in his arm. And finally cut his arm off and wrapped it up in tourniquet. And then he had to walk back and then go down ropes about 70 feet down and walk out until a family from the Netherlands, he met them I don't know how many hours later, and they called and rescued him. 5 days. And he finally had to cut his own arm off in order to live. And I was reading up on him last night. He gets about $15,000 a speech. Not bad. I bet he makes more than one a year. Amen? Okay? At some point, you listen to me. At some point, all of us realize that there are some things that we're just going to have to live without. I don't know what that is. I don't know the area. I can't preach it beyond that. Again, this is not condoning divorce. This is not anything like that. But I will tell you, you're not going to follow your wife into hell. You're not going to follow your husband into hell. And you better not follow your kids into hell either. You can love them. But at some point, you just reckon that you can live without it. It is more profitable. This is not Mike Hoggard's philosophy. This is the words of Christ. If he hadn't said it in this book, I wouldn't be preaching it. And if you were in a situation in life, let's just say you personally, where you recognize what your sin is about ready to do to you, it may take some drastic steps. And if you realize that you cannot cut it off yourself, go to the doctor. Go to the physician. And if he can't heal it, he'll have to cut it off. Some of you, when you got saved, you noticed that some of the people you used to hang around, all of a sudden they didn't hang around you anymore. You know what God did? And you know what you realized? I can live without them. We see people all the time with no legs, no arms, no eyes, can't hear. We see people like that all the time. You know what? They just make the best of life and go on. But if you're hanging on to something that is eventually going to kill you, you realize that you can, in fact, live without it. And probably better. Probably better. So I want you to pray about that. I want you to think about that. Think about what God's dealing with you about right now. And I don't know what it is. And I tell you what I'm not going to do. When we're going to have prayer and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning. I don't know, but I'm assuming that God's dealing with some people right now. So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. What I am going to do is I'm going to ask you to bow your head this morning. Would you do that, please? Every head bowed. Man, we don't want to lose our hand. But if our hand's killing us, it's better for it to go. And if you don't have the ability to take care of it yourself, go to the doctor. Let him take care of it. You can live without it. So right now, with you, just you, your head bowed, I want you to think about the issue that the Holy Ghost has been whispering or speaking to you this whole sermon. There's an issue right now that the Holy Ghost has been talking to you about this entire sermon. And you know what it is. And I want you to just visit with God and say, God, this sermon was for me. Because there's something that I don't know that I can let it go. It's so much a part of me, I don't know that I can get rid of it. But your word says that I'm better off without it. And I believe the Bible. And God, I cannot do this by myself. I need the physician. I need the doctor. So right here, right now, right in this place, you call upon the name of the Lord and ask the doctor for help. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for helping me. All the issues, Lord, of life, you've helped me to see some things, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you, dear God, that your word heals us. And that your grace and mercy, dear God, takes care of all the diseases of sin, Lord, in our life. But Father, we also realize, dear God, because of our own negligence, our own wickedness, our own corruption, God, the bad things they're just starting to take over. And Father, we recognize, dear God, Lord, that it's not right. It's going to kill us. We've been ignoring it, hoping it'll go away, and it won't. And Lord, we don't want to lose anything out of our life, but we realize, God, that we're not going to be able to keep it anyway. So, Father, these people, Lord, they call upon you, God, and they say, God, you're the doctor. You bring healing to my life. And God, what you can't heal, cut off. It's okay. Because I now realize that if I hang on, I'll die. And Father, Lord, just instill that in the hearts of these people today. Lord, let all of those, Lord, who cry out and call unto You, God, out of a sincere heart, find peace in their heart today. Help them, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, You take over the reins in my life and You be the Lord of my life. And You give me the promise of Your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.